All right, let me ask you, please, if you'll turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter. We're going to deal with something else here that Bruce touched upon as he read the psalm this morning. Matthew chapter 10. How many of you feel like God's Word is true? How many of you believe it's true whether you understand it or not? How many of you are willing to accept it even though you don't like it? Now we're getting somewhere. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 10. There are some difficult scriptures in the Bible, and we're going to deal with some this morning that tend to be a little difficult and see if we can't put some light on them. And before we do, we want to be sure that we're getting God's Word. Now, if you found Matthew chapter 10, if you'll join with me in prayer, and we believe God to bring His Word to us this morning. All right, now we're going to begin to read in Matthew 10, the 16th chapter. This first passage of Scripture is rather lengthy, but I feel impressed to read the entire passage so that you can get the context of it. And then we have some other Scripture we're going to read along as well. Follow with me, please, as I read. Behold, I send you forth, this is Jesus speaking to His followers. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. Now, I'm going to be talking to you today about family relationships, and I want you to note specifically what Jesus says here about family relationships, and that will help you as we go on. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, now that's another name for the devil, Satan, Beelzebub. He says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, or a devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Some hard language in there, isn't there? Some hard language. I thought Jesus said when he died, my peace I give unto you. Didn't he say that? Not as the world give I unto you. But he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember those verses? Well, why did he say here, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword in verse number 34. Why did he say here that a man's enemies would be those of his own household? Why did he say, doesn't God care about families? Isn't he interested in mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, brothers and sisters and husbands and wives? Isn't he interested in them getting along? Is it God's purpose and plan that he wants families divided and destroyed? Is that what he wants? He said here, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. For I am come to set a man at odds against his father. He said, I've come to set a father and his son against each other. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? But did he say it? Are these the words of Jesus, or are they the figment of somebody's imagination? Are they God's words? They are. He said them. Then we ought to try to understand what it is that he means, what it is that he's trying to say here. What is this truth that he's trying to establish? Look in this passage in the 24th and 25th verses, and I think we can begin to get a clue. The disciple, he said, is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servants as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Jesus is saying, it's enough. If you have no family that loves you, it's enough to know God and to be part of his family. It's adequate. It's enough to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. It's enough to be a servant of the Lord God, if that's all there is for you. It's enough. In Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, Bruce read them this morning. And he said that our God is the God of the fatherless, and that he establishes the solitary person in families. What does that mean? That means that when you come to Jesus Christ and are set at variance against your family, and sometimes that happens, we're going to look at that in just a moment, that when that happens, God takes you, the lonely one, and establishes you in a family of your own. God sets the solitary in families. He takes the lonely one and puts him in a family. We're going to see that in just a moment. Jesus knew what he was talking about. In the 7th chapter of the book of John, in the 5th verse, John records, neither did his brothers believe in him. Do you know that when Jesus went into the river and came out filled with the Spirit of God and began to go up and down the highways and the byways around Galilee and began to preach the gospel of God, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, and he began to lay hands on the sick and do miracles, you know that that's when his brothers turned away from him? It wasn't when he was making woodworking in the carpenter shop. It was when he began to serve God, his brothers would not have anything to do with him, wouldn't believe in him. They began to mock him there in the 7th chapter, and they said to him, if you're such a great miracle worker, now these are of his own flesh. They are the sons of his mother and father. And they said to him, if you're such a great miracle worker, why don't you go up to Jerusalem where all the holy holies are and all the big men of God? Why don't you go up there and demonstrate it? They began to taunt him and tempt him. Jesus, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, the disciple is not above his master. If they've laughed at me, they'll laugh at you. If they have ridiculed me, they will ridicule you. If they don't understand me, how can they possibly understand you? And so he says, take heart. It's enough to be my disciple. It's enough to serve me. It's enough. You must understand this in order to understand what Jesus is talking about here. Every person who does not have Jesus Christ in his life, every single man and woman and child that has not been born again of the Spirit is of the flesh. And that which is of the flesh is of the nature of Adam and is in sin and is the child of the devil. There are only two families in the earth today, beloved. One is the family of God, and that is the blood-washed, born-again children of God. They are the family of God. If a person has not been born again, he or she is a child of the devil. No matter how beautiful they may be, no matter how lovely they may be, no matter how much you may love them. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me? Now, I'm not going to tell you, you see, platitudes and things that'll make you feel all good and gushy and you'll go out of here believing a lie. I will tell you the truth of God's Word. He belongs to the devil. Now, that's the way it is. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You read 1 John, the third chapter, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Read through the Gospel of John, and you'll see the same thing. The children of God contrasted with the children of the devil. 1 John 5 says, He that believeth in Christ is born of God, is begotten of God, the one that knows Jesus Christ as Savior. If he's not, he's a child of the devil. All right, now what happens? When the Holy Spirit of God touches someone in a family, you have a father and you have a mother. You have a son and a daughter. You have a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. You have cousins. You have brothers and sisters. They're all children of the devil because they've never been born again. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God touches one person in that family, and that heart turns towards God, and he or she opens up and says, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. That one person, that solitary person, becomes a child of God. What do you suppose happens in that family? Any of you ever been there? Let me see your hands. What happens? Variance. Immediately, enmity. Immediately, opposition. Oh, I don't understand you anymore. All you ever talk about is Jesus. Oh, I don't understand you anymore. All you ever do is go to your room and read your Bible. I don't understand you anymore. You don't have any conception for the things that are wrong in the family or things that are wrong in the world. Don't you know that this is wrong and she's doing this and he's doing that and this is going to happen and that's going to happen? Don't you understand any of that? Don't you care about those things? You don't have any compassion. You don't have any love. You don't care about the family anymore. Have you ever heard that? Jesus said, I did not come to play patty cake with you. I didn't come to bring peace into your family. I came to bring a sword. I came to divide that which was holy from that which was unholy. I came to separate that which is clean from that which is unclean. There will be a clear division when my sword comes in. There'll be a clear line there. You'll be able to see the difference between those who belong to me and those that are still in their sin. You'll be able to see it. And he said, I've set a father at variance with his son and a daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why? Because they are not spiritually of the same family. They are of two different families. They have two different purposes. They have two different objectives, and they are dancing to two different fiddlers, if you will. Now, some of you who are new believers, this is primarily for you because you're experiencing some things that you do not understand. All of a sudden, you don't understand your mother. You got saved, and all of a sudden, you don't understand your mother anymore. And she doesn't understand you. And she's mad at you, or she's hurt. And you don't know what to do. And you're thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't read my Bible so much. Maybe I shouldn't smile all the time. Maybe I ought to get in there and wallow around in the family problems. Maybe I ought to go on in there and dig up some of that mud with them. Maybe I ought to agree with them when they say that Uncle Don is going to die of cancer in a few days. Maybe I ought to just go on and agree with that instead of believing God for his healing. Maybe I ought to go on and agree that my brother's going to go ahead and get a divorce and that's best for him and that whole family there. Maybe I ought to go on and just believe that instead of stirring up all this water because of what God says in his word. Maybe I'll just leave it alone. Maybe I ought to take my light and put a bushel basket over it for a little while until things simmer down. You ever been tempted to do that? Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. Now you stay with me. Don't anybody leave this auditorium. I don't want anybody to get up and leave this auditorium in the middle of what I'm saying. You stay with me until we're done. Kind of like going in an ice cream store and getting an ice cream cone. And they get the cone down. And you say thank you and grab the cone and leave before they put any ice cream in it. Now that's dumb, isn't it? That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? Or go up to the soda fountain and order a Coke and they get the glass and put the ice up there on the counter. You grab the glass and go and don't get anything to drink. So don't you leave here today until you get it all. It's a package deal, in other words. Luke, the 14th chapter. Verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's hard language. He said, if you won't hate your father and mother, if you won't hate your wife and your brothers and your sisters and come and follow him, then you cannot be a disciple of his. What's he mean by that? Look at the next verse. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, anyone that is more concerned about the respect and the admiration of men, no matter how close they are, than the exaltation of God is not worthy to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. He said we are to take our cross and follow him. Now, I know that there are those who would preach and say to you that as Christians, we're to carry the cross, and here I am, I've got cancer, and I'm going to die in 6 months, and that's my cross, I'm suffering. I want you to know Jesus did not have cancer when he went to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ had absolutely nothing to do with cancer. I know there are those that are saying, well, my son's on drugs. He's been in and out of every jail this side of the Mississippi River. That's my cross. I'm bearing it. I want you to know that the cross of Jesus Christ didn't have anything to do with a child on drugs or in and out of jails. There's only one thing that happened on the cross of Jesus Christ, and that is a man died. And that's what a cross is for, is to die on. It's not to get sick on. It's not to get hooked on drugs on. It's to die on. He says, take your cross and follow me. Die on the cross. Die to your own attitudes. Die to your own desires. Die to your own needs and love and serve me. That's what the cross is. That's what it means to carry your cross. It means to die to yourself and your own desires. And what he's saying here is, if it is more important to you what your unsaved father or mother or what your unsaved brother thinks about you, if that's more important than I am and my word, then you cannot be my disciple. Now he goes, and that's what he means by hate. He means to love less. Love your father and mother less than me. And by comparison, it's almost like hating. For which of you, verse 28, intendeth to build a tower, and sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, that all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Do you know what your family will say about you after you have declared yourself to be for Christ? After you have declared the peace and the joy and the power that you have found in Jesus, and then you fall back into your old ways? You will be exactly like this man that started to build a tower and he got it halfway finished. And because of the pressures, and he had not counted the cost, how much it was going to cost him to finish that tower, he gave up on it. And everybody came and laughed and made fun. That's exactly what he's talking about here. He's talking about our relationships in some of the closest relationships that we have here on the face of the earth, and that is with our families. I'm going to tell you that if you were just born again, and I was the devil, And I wanted to get you off of your faith, and I wanted to drag you back in the hole I just had you in. I would not send you a stranger. I'd send you somebody you loved a great deal. One of my children whom you loved. And I would put my words in his mouth. And I would put my look upon his face. And I would cause you in your ignorance to have compassion upon my child, that one close to you, and fall right into my snare. Verse number 33. So likewise, he, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, beloved, Jesus is saying to you that if you're going to serve him and follow him, you and I must be willing to forsake everything and everyone for him. He did. He forsook it all for his heavenly Father. I remember the day that I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Son, you must be willing to give up everything." And I just knew in my spirit what he meant. It was more than just my business. See, in the things of this life, material things, I knew he meant my wife. I knew that he meant I have to give up my wife. I knew he meant that I must be willing to give up my sons. I love my wife and I love my sons. But I knew that he was requiring of me to be willing to give them up. I don't know what my wife and my sons would think about it, but it didn't take me 1 second to make a decision. I'd already made it. I was willing to give them up. He didn't want to take them away. He just wanted me to be willing to give them up. If you won't forsake everything and everyone for him, you cannot be his disciple. Now look at the next verse. Salt is good. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth." But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. Beloved, if you are a child of God, you're the salt of the earth. But if you refuse to be salty, if your salt has lost its influence in the family that God has established you in, if you become as they are without saltiness, then your spiritual effect or benefit for them or for the kingdom of God is the same as if you were thrown out on a dunghill. You know what a dunghill is? It's a manure pile. Now, that's straight language. Jesus didn't fool around with his declarations and with his instruction. He is not fooling around today. He was not fooling around with the children of Israel. Turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Now, I want you to notice here, there's something here that's very important. While you're turning, I want you to see. Jesus did not tell us to rebel against authority. There's no place in here where it says that if a wife has a husband that's an unbeliever and he refuses to believe, that the wife is to throw him over. It's not in there. You read the scriptures that we just read, and the other one we're going to read in Mark 10. It says if the husband is willing to leave the wife for the cause of Christ, it said nothing about the wife leaving the husband. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. It also says that when we to leave fathers and mothers, we're not to leave them when we're this old or this old or this old, but when we're this old. You see, when we have already come out from underneath that parental authority. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus is not talking about authority here. He's talking about relationships. You read these scriptures carefully so that you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't want anybody to be confused about that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. In other words, do these things now, so that it may be well with you, and that you may increase. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. This command which God gave, that the children of Israel were to love the Lord thy God first, beyond anybody else, that they were to love him and serve him first, was so important that Moses, under the command of God, said, I command you to write these things down on little pieces of paper. You put them in little leather boxes, and you tie it around your arm, and you wear it all the time on your arm. Or you tie it around your forehead. You see pictures in books of Jewish men, and they had little leather cases on their heads and on their forearms, and they were lashed to their arm. Inside those little leather cases were scripture, and this is one of them. That when they looked at that box all the time, they would remember that they were to love the Lord God with all their heart and to put nobody else before him. That's how important it is to the Lord. Now I'm going to show you something that's going to blow your mind. If you think that God is playing funny games, I'm telling you, he's serious. Now go to the 13th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and see what he commanded the children of Israel to do. Now we're not commanded to do this today because we're living by the Spirit, not by the law. We're living under grace and not under law. But since these people did not have the Spirit indwelling and were living purely in the natural according to the flesh, they were governed by very strict laws. Now listen to this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy 13 concerning what we've been discussing. Verse number 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, in other words, the woman you love the most, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, the closest people to you, if any of these entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. It's not a game. It is serious. It was serious enough that God said to the children of Israel, if this happens in your family, you take the offender out and stone him to death, and you be the first one to do it, so that you purge this wickedness away from you. It's important. It's critical. Now, does that mean that to be a Christian, you must be in opposition to your mother and your father, your son and your daughter, your son-in-law and your daughter-in-law, your sons and your daughters, your brothers and your sisters? Does that mean that you must always be in opposition to them? No. But it does mean that if they are not Christians, they are in opposition to you, whether they know it or not. And most of them do not know it. Now, you must understand this. Most of them do not realize what is happening, but you should, because you're in the Spirit. What did Jesus say? He ratified the commandment of Moses. God gave 10 commandments to Moses. The fifth one said, honor thy father and thy mother. Is that right? Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark and also in Matthew, he said that we were to remember that commandment, to honor our father and our mother. But he said that is with regard to them leading us away from him, that we were set at variance or at odds with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Let's see what God has done with regard to the family. Many of you have experienced this. You will experience more and more of it as time goes on. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 46. While he yet talked to the people, Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He says, My family are those that love my Father. My family are those that do the will of God. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, He takes the lonely and puts them in families. Now I want you to compare with me two people who Jesus called to follow him. Matthew chapter 8 is the first one. Let's look there. There may be someone here today who is a brother or a sister or a mother or father or son, or there may be somebody listening to this tape on a subsequent day, listening to it privately, who is a mother or a father or a son or a daughter, and is wondering why, what has really happened, what's going on with their children? Why have they changed so much? And desiring them to return even to the old life. I want you to see two disciples here, two men whom Jesus called to follow him. And they responded differently, and I want you to see what happens. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Now, did you ever wonder what he meant by that? How can one dead man bury another dead man? He couldn't even lift up the shovel, could he, if he was physically dead? He's talking about the spiritually dead here. He said, let those that are unsaved bury the dead. Let those that are still dead on the inside take care of burying the dead. You come and follow me. Now, you never hear about this disciple ever again. Matthew didn't even record his name. But turn with me, please. He was so concerned about his father. Now turn with me to the fourth chapter of Matthew. I tell you, this blesses me so much, and if our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and so on would just understand this. But if we understand it, then bless God, we can believe for our families, can't we? Verse number 18, chapter 4, 18. Now watch this carefully. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Didn't hold on to anything. Left everything and followed him. That's Andrew and Simon Peter. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. You ever wonder why they specifically said here, and their father? And their father. Left not only the ship, but also left their family behind and followed Jesus. Now let's turn over to the gospel, Matthew 8, and let me show you what happens to your family when you forsake them and follow God. Now you get ready to get blessed. Now you prepare to get your spiritual fire lit. You see, when you forsake everybody else and go to God 100%, they won't understand you. They'll think you don't love them anymore. They'll think you don't care about them anymore. They'll think that you're not concerned about them anymore, and they haven't any idea that you've never been more concerned. They don't have any conception that you have never loved them more. Look at this in verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, remember, Peter is one of these guys that left everything and followed him. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, if Peter had not followed God, had not followed the Lord, she'd still be laying there sick of a fever. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Hallelujah. And she arose and ministered unto them. Glory to God. It is profitable to your family and to your loved ones to serve God, to be willing to forsake them, to go on with God, and to believe God to bless them and minister to them. Now, here's a man, Peter, you see, who loved his mother-in-law, and they went over to the mother-in-law's house. I'm sure the mother-in-law didn't understand. Well, it was Peter. Peter's left his ships and his fishing and everything. How's my daughter going to eat? It would be, it's the kind of thing that a mother-in-law would be interested in, wouldn't she? What's the matter with this Peter? He was a good provider, and now he's gone off the deep end. Every time I see him, he's talking about Jesus did this, Jesus did that, Jesus did something else, Jesus did this. I never hear him talking about the family anymore. All he ever talks about is the other disciples. He says, Andrew did this, John did this, James did this. We were all together down such and such a city, had a wonderful service. Don't ever talk about anything important anymore. But here she was sick on the bed, see, with a fever, down flat. But her son-in-law knew Jesus. Her son-in-law knew the one that could help her. And because of Peter, Jesus touched her with his hand. And she was raised off the bed. So whole, she went into the kitchen and started fixing supper right away. I have not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword and to set a man at variance with those that are closest to him in the natural. Until such time as my son, my new child, asks me and believes me, and I have opportunity to work upon his family, and I will bless his family. I'll minister to his family. I'll save his family. I'll heal his family. When they don't know what's happening to them, I'll touch their body and heal them because of him, because he loves me and because he serves me. Amen. You see, the best thing you can do for your family, beloved, is to serve God. If your family would spit on you, you know that does happen today. Did you know that? I know a young boy. Some of you know this boy too, who was born again in this place right here. I don't know whether he was filled with the Holy Ghost or not, but had his life changed. His parents won't let him come to church. His mother and dad won't let him come to church. And you see, that boy, that precious boy, he is their ticket into the kingdom of God. See? They don't understand. But if he will believe God, if he'll trust God, if he'll love God, if he'll serve God, God will hear his prayers and answer and bring his mom and dad into the kingdom of God. Your highest and best, beloved, is to serve God to the forsaking of all others. You remember that. And when your family is used of the enemy to try to draw you away from your relationship with Jesus, normally, to draw you away goes something like this. It's not so much to draw you completely away, but it's calm down a little bit. You ever heard that? Just cool it a little bit. You know, it's too much. Now, you know, religion is okay, but this is too much. Just calm down. You're turning everybody off. You can't turn anybody off. They're already turned off and turned out. And there's only one way, you see, beloved, for them to come in, and that is for you to stay salty, for you to keep your light shining, for you to keep loving and serving God and believing in His Word and standing on His Word. It doesn't matter that people don't understand it. They didn't understand it when Jesus was here. You didn't always understand this, did you? Neither did I. Praise the Lord. He's opened my eyes and He's opened your eyes. Let's pray.